there's an inherent duty for government, the EMS industry, and all personnel involved at EMS at all levels to identify threats and find ways to remove, reduce their impact, and fully embrace a culture of safety in EMS. To begin to do that, though, we must be able to quantify the problem.
That was Dia Gaynor, State Director of EMS for Idaho and the recent chair of the National EMS Advisory Council. Hello and welcome to another installment of the MSARN podcast series we call I'm Just an Ambulance Driver. In this podcast, we revisit safety culture. Now, safety is extremely important to everyone in EMS, but many of us may not know what is meant by safety culture. Now, we have good reason to be concerned about safety in EMS. EMTs and paramedics work in an unpredictable environment, and calls for help can come at any time. We don't often know what to expect once on scene, and we are often exposed to violence, a high risk of needle stick injuries, back injuries, and high amounts of work-related stress. Safety culture was advertised as a key systems-level variable, something that led us to behave the way we do when we interact with our colleagues and patients. Is safety for the patient or the provider any better today? We asked two junior paramedics who are in their early 20s and relatively new in EMS to comment. What comes to mind when you hear the word safety?
Safety, I think, brings in a lot of different aspects. There's obviously patient safety, there's clinical safety, such as while you're actually doing some sort of clinical work, starting an IV or intubating. I think there's safety in terms of driving, there's safety in terms of operations, there's scene safety. So I feel like safety is a very, very broad term.
Yeah. I think initially, you know, when you think of safety, of course, you think about ambulance accidents, which is obviously a huge risk, and it's very transparent because when it happens, you know, it goes immediately to the news. But of course, the things that sort of stay behind the scenes are, you know, back injuries from proper training.
What are some major threats to safety?
I have to say that in the broad strokes, the biggest threat is lack of good training. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I have the term experience. To training, because I feel that where training stops, experience has to come in and fill the gaps. A major threat, I think, or that I feel to my safety is fatigue, either my fatigue or my partner's fatigue, or even fatigue elsewhere in the system. It means I get incomplete information or...
Safety is sometimes viewed differently by EMS directors than by EMS providers. We talked with Bill Minakiewicz, the director of Calhoun County Emergency Services in South Carolina, to weigh in on what safety means to administrators of an organization.
Safety is very, very important to me. It has been an uphill battle because a lot of EMS people, for some reason, their culture is that they don't necessarily want to participate in wearing all of the safety equipment. It becomes cumbersome, especially the helmets. And I always tell my employees that I don't want to have to go to your family and tell them the bad news that you're not coming home because of something that I may have been able to prevent.
Our two junior paramedics have set the stage to ask the question, what truly is safety culture? Our next two guests are highly knowledgeable on the topic of safety culture. We have invited Jim Conway of the Institute for Healthcare Improvement and Terry Mathis, the CEO of PROACT Safety, to provide us with their definitions on safety culture.
First and foremost, a culture of trust. It's a culture where we in healthcare, both looking at our own practice, the practice who we, of those we share accountability with, and patients and families, how we come to the table together to deliver this thing that we're allowed to do called care. I think then very quickly it gets into a whole bunch of elements that we can go through in some detail. But first and foremost, it's about trust, it's about respect, and it's about individual and shared responsibility.
Safety culture to me is the a combination of things. Some of the people say, well, culture is what people do when they're not being watched. Culture is really more the reason why people do what they do when they're not being watched, but it's also the reason why they do it differently when they are being watched, because being watched can be a part of the culture, and management or supervision can actually be a contributing factor to what ultimately the safety culture is. And some of the characteristics of it that I think are especially important are, you know, what are common practices? And within these common practices, do people have a sense of vulnerability? Do they recognize some of the low probability risks that are present in some of the everyday things that they do? And do they have a healthy respect for these things? And then also, you know, what are the organizational pressures? Does the organization influence people to be safe, or does the organization influence people to rush and get the job done regardless of the safety aspects of what they're doing?
What does EMS need to improve? We talked again with Bill Minakiewicz of Calhoun County and with Sarah McEntee, the Executive Director of the Commission on Accreditation of Ambulance Services, more commonly known as CAS, to give us their insight.
So what Emergency Medical Services needs to do is look to see how they can create the space to allow individuals to learn more about this area called patient safety.
Too often, safety is just a sidebar to an organization. It's something that they feel they have to do. They have to have a safety or a safety person. They have to have a safety committee. They have to. It's a requirement, and it's viewed as a requirement, and not as something that they embrace as part of their whole operation.
To learn more about MSARN or to leave feedback on our podcast, log on to www.msarn.org. For MSARN, my name's Charlie Warner, and I'm just an ambulance driver. Thank you and good day.